This is Samuel's Persiflage, episode number 9 for October 2006. Wonderful to be with you once again. Samuel Gordon Stewart here with Samuel's Persiflage. And this month we're going to spend quite a bit of time looking at the subject of online scams. And other scams as well. There's quite a lot of online scams out there, and we'll have a bit of fun with it actually. It's not going to just be a bit of an academic lesson on scams. We're actually going to have a bit of fun with them. We're going to talk to Clayton Northcutt, who has, been publishing on his blog some correspondence he's been having with scammers, including some rather mentally challenged scammers, I think might be the right term for them. They just don't seem to twig that he's playing with them. But, we'll talk to Clayton about that shortly. We've also got, we've got some other scammers. I receive a lot of scams by email all the time. So I thought, why not find phone numbers for them and ring them? Not as hard as it might seem, and quite entertaining as well. We'll do that. And also, false advertising. I think that's another form of scamming. So I've actually spoken to a company who I believe has been making misleading comments in their advertising. We'll do that a little bit later on as well. There's a persiflage puzzle, some listener feedback, a thought for the month as usual, and I've decided to do something a bit different. Going to each month from now on, depending on how it goes this month anyway, add in an old ad from nowhere in particular, just something that seems to have found its way into the open domain. We'll just chuck that in there somewhere. That should be quite entertaining. I've got a rather unusual one this month. We'll see how that goes. All that and more. This is Samuel's Persiflage. But before we can get started, we do have to go through the persiflage puzzle. So hopefully you've got a pen and paper handy, or a text editor, or something else so you can keep track of the letters and work out what we have. We've got 3 words this month. The first word has 7 letters, the second one has 2 letters, and the third one also has 7 letters. Now, the clue for the month, this is a well-known Australian television show with such characters as Amy, Lulu and Morgan. And it has been broadcast outside Australia, so you don't have to live in Australia to know the answer to this one. So we'll start off by drawing 5 letters out of the hat. And the first letter out of the hat is the letter L for lock. And it's not in there. So we'll go for the next letter, and we've got the letter J for James, or J for Jerry, or anyway. It's the third letter of the third word. Okay, so we'll have a look for another letter now, and the letter H for Harry, it's not in there. Q for quack. Nope, that's not in there. The ducks will be disappointed. W for William. Also not in there. And that's 5 letters. So we'll leave it at that. We've only got 1 letter in there at the moment. But that'll keep you thinking during the show. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Thank you. First up on the show today, though, we have Clayton Northcutt, who has had a bit of fun with some scammers. Clayton, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Samuel, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
So I gather, well, what made you decide to ask to come on the show? Because I've never had anyone ask to come on the show before, as far as I can recall.
Well, Samuel, all I saw was a legion of followers at your website, and I thought, why can't we tap into these people to educate them into the evil of society out there that are the scammers? I deplore these people. And I thought, why not rescue these poor people who don't know any better than through your website?
Fair enough. Okay, well, we'll start with your story then. It was in August, you had some fun with a rather dubious character who decided to contact you to try and get you to sell counterfeit fridges for him.
Yes, the counterfeit white goods from Mr. Kian, I believe. I even got a very lofty position in his company, I believe, like regional representative or something.
Mm.
Oh, he thought I was living in New York. Either way, though.
Yes. So, we should probably start the story from the beginning. He contacted you just out of the blue, which they tend to do with just about everyone.
Yes, yes. Just sort of sitting in my inbox there waiting for obviously some duped up person to reply to him. And, I couldn't resist. I just had to email back and say I was very interested in selling counterfeit fridges.
Hmm. I'm just trying to find it here. I'm just getting it up on the screen at the moment. It's come to you from the desk of Mr. Teo Ming Kian, the chairman of the Matsushita Semiconductor, yada, 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 yada.
Very reputable company.
Oh, yes. And he goes on and on and on. So he's asked for your details. He's given you, I'm looking here, he's given you a website which actually has nothing to do with the company whatsoever.
It's I believe it's the Singapore Tourism Board, I believe.
Yes. I'll just check that. But so you've decided to take him on, you've filled out his application, and you've moved Redfern into Sydney.
Yes, yes. Redfern, Beguile Street, I think, was where I lived, and the phone number spelt out scammer, something to that effect. It was very, I thought it was rather witty. Unfortunately, it went way over this person's head, and they thought I was serious.
Yes, you obviously just wanted to take up a bit of their time, but they were just too thick for that.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So they've then replied, and they've basically welcomed you to the company and asked you if you accept their mission statement.
With open arms they welcomed me in. Mm. They were keen to get anyone in, I think.
Yes. Now, for someone who's not expecting this to be a scam, this all looks pretty good. They've just got a job with a decent commission, which keeps changing for the white goods they sell.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to wait for someone to contact them to buy these white goods, but
yeah,
no one really ever contacted you, did they?
No, no one at all. It might have been because I gave them the dodgy phone numbers. Mm. It might have been because I gave them the dodgy address.
So do you think someone in the US was getting your phone calls asking for your fridges?
One part of me really hopes someone was, and one part of me pities anyone who would have.
Hmm.
Because I would have enjoyed seeing someone get the phone calls from Mr. Kian saying, are you ready to get the counterfeit fridges? And just the look on this person's face who has no idea what they're talking about. Just about as much of an idea as I had what they were talking about.
I'm just getting that picture now, and it's I can just see the receptionist at a doctor's surgery being asked about that. And
yeah, that would be a perfect scenario.
Yes. So anyway, the only contact you ever had with even coming close to counterfeit fridges was when you were told that you'd been contacted by someone.
And I had their bank account details and everything.
You'd even been paid.
I had $10 million, I believe it was.
These must be good counterfeit fridges, I bet.
These were like top of the range, Kemosabe, whatever counterfeit fridges they were making.
Do you think they had something funny inside them, maybe?
Oh, they probably were chock full of coke or something, but you can't go past the quality of the counterfeit fridges.
So you've actually been assigned a tag here. EDF015.
Yes, and I actually, there's a funny story. I made up actual business cards to give out to my friends. It had a Clayton Northcutt, my phone number, my dodgy phone number, of course, and my position in the company. They were really good. I'll send you one down.
Okay, I look forward to it. I'll give you the mailing address.
Oh, you'll probably get some brochures in there as well, if the counterfeit fridges, of course.
I look forward to it. I might post them on the blog, actually.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So, it's been so long since I've actually looked through some of these emails that you posted on your blog that you've sent to Mr. Keehan. I'm reading them again as I'm talking to you, and here's one where your family, alas, were killed in a polar bear attack.
Oh, that's right, the polar bear attack. See, I've just probably been recently watching the reruns of Lost and the polar bear on that. I don't know if you've ever seen. And there's a polar bear on that. I thought, why not just rip off one of the most popular pop culture shows and see if they even realise? No, they did not. No. I think they even believed.
Yes, well, they must have, because they kept talking to you.
Yeah.
So, what was going through your mind when these people just kept accepting these ridiculous stories time after time as if it was true?
Well, anyone who's read my blog would realise that I don't have a high opinion of society. They will realise that I don't think there's a very high intelligent quota out there, but these emails that I kept getting brought that rung down lower and lower and lower, until it fell off the mantelpiece.
Hmm. There's, our local talkback presenter here, Mike Jeffries, has a saying that God must love stupid people because he put an awful lot of them on this planet.
Oh, there are an awful lot.
Now, let's see where this went. You've started to cause controversial issues within this company.
Oh, yes. I have no idea what they were. I have no idea how I started, but I'm damn proud I did it.
Hmm. And Mr. Thomas Page is still waiting for his fridges?
No. He got them.
He got
Although
them?
I had to hand draw them on a piece of paper and send it to him, but he got them.
Oh, okay. Well, very counterfeit fridges.
Yeah, they do their job, though.
They do?
Yeah, if you just sort of hold it over some frozen meat, they'll keep it cold.
Fair enough. It sounds like a very good invention. You might have to go on the new inventors.
Oh, for sure. ABC would love it.
Hmm. You'd get some very, very perplexed looks from the panel.
Isn't that a prerequisite for someone working at the ABC?
Well, quite possibly. So, this just kept going. Eventually, they stopped talking to you.
There was a big break, and then they started up again for some reason.
Hmm. So, what do you think caused the break?
I think someone could have twigged on that I was actually BSing them.
Well, you think it was the money stuffed in duffel bags and lockers?
Yeah, I think $500,000 in $100 notes was the implausible bit. I don't think the tens and the twenties was off the mark. I mean, I think they believed that part. But $500,000 in hundreds in a locker is just unbelievable.
Hmm.
Unless you've watched The Sopranos a couple of times.
So, what part of the world do you think these people are actually in?
I wouldn't put past America, because that's where I think you get a whole lot. America and London are where I get the most amount of sort of the Nigerian scam letters, the letters like this, all of them. They just seem to flood in from there.
Hmm. Have you noticed that that those lottery emails that come in all seem to have phone numbers that you can ring, which are somewhere in Asia?
Yes, I have noticed that, and I wouldn't put past India either.
Mm.
Which sort of brings me on to the telemarketers. Never get me started on them.
Well, I think I might have to, because that sounds like you've got a few interesting thoughts.
Oh, doesn't everyone? Everyone just has their own sort of mucking around, and that's what I want everyone to start doing. Everyone hates the telemarketers. So why not just get them so cheesed off with you that they stop calling? I have not received probably more than 5 a month now. I try to say, hello, okay, just give me a second, just leave it, walk away, like someone told me. Or you mess around with them, like if they try and sell you a telephone. Just say you're Amish and God doesn't approve of technology. Don't let them try and figure out that you're actually using technology to talk to them. Just tell them, God does not approve of mobile phones. That works.
I had an interesting experience. It must be about half a year ago now. I was getting ready to go to work, and I got a call from some bloke from some blind manufacturing company who wanted to give me a demonstration of their blinds. He wanted to come to my house and give me a demonstration of blinds.
That's good. You would have taken him up on his offer for sure.
Well, I actually spent about half an hour convincing him that I already had blinds and I didn't want any more, and they were already the colour I wanted.
And it only took half an hour.
Well, I exaggerate, but...
Oh, I wouldn't put it past half an hour. These people just don't seem to get the clue.
Well, it was more irritating when I eventually had enough of trying to convince him that I didn't want any new blinds and hung up on him, and he rang back and insisted that we'd been cut off.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
He was Indian, though. And maybe he didn't speak English. Well, I know he didn't speak English very well because his version of sampling blinds didn't come across the way I think he intended it to. But do you think that the Indian people who are telemarketers actually know that they're annoying us?
I think that they're just some poor Joe Blow sitting behind a telephone doing a job. They have no other choice. Their country's been exploited and brought to the position where it is at this point in time that they don't really have much of a choice. And I don't blame the telemarketers as such. I blame the companies and the people that actually employ them. So I blame the franchises. I blame the capitalists who are exploiting these people for the benefit of themselves. These people are just the people on the phone. I mean, it's like when you go to, say, the airport and someone gives you dodgy seats. You don't blame the person registering your ticket, you blame the company who's giving you the dodgy seat. It's not the person behind the counter's choice.
Mm. When I was looking for a job back, must have been around April, I actually accidentally spent a day with door-to-door salespeople.
Now, those people I blame.
Well, it was a very interesting experience. The job that they advertised, and I've actually spotted the ad a few times since, had absolutely nothing to do with door-to-door sales. It was promotions or just general marketing.
Okay.
But they called me in for an interview, so I came in, and the interview went fine. They said, well, what we're going to do, we're going to go through the people that we've interviewed, and we'll bring some people in tomorrow for just a sort of tour of the office and just to get a better idea of what we do. And so I got called later that day to come in the next day, which I did. I was a little bit early. And when I got there, we all went into another room where they had us fill out this form saying that it just said something along the lines of... it was an insurance waiver of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it exactly now. It's too long ago. But they then gave us this speech about the company's morals. And then after that, they whisked us off to the other side of Canberra.
Uh-huh.
And we had lunch. And then suddenly, we all found ourselves in the middle of a suburb following someone around while they tried to convince people to change energy company.
Oh, that's great. And that's exactly what you signed on for.
Yeah, exactly. And this was just the trial day, too. Now, at first I thought, why am I here? I could easily catch a bus out of here. But then I thought, this is too good to let go. I'm just going to have to go along with this for now and just see what it's like from their end. And it's rather interesting, the processes they go through to make sure that they go to a certain number of houses, they get a certain number of sales, they try to maximise their number of sales, they have a bunch of techniques they use, they'll even categorise houses just so that they know which ones to go to.
Wow, that's pretty in-depth.
Well, you might get home from work, say, at 5 or 6 in the evening and sit down to dinner,
mm-hmm.
and without fail, if there's door-to-door salespeople in your area, they're going to come to your door. And they know that that you're going to be home because they've been there since 2 o'clock.
Gee.
They've gone through all of the houses in your street. They've seen who's already there and they can't sell energy to because they're too old to accept the offer or they're not interested, and they know who wasn't home. So they, now that they've narrowed that down, they can easily go through to the houses that they know were vacant earlier and see if anyone's home. And next time they go through that suburb, they're going to know, well, these houses are most likely to be willing to buy something. And it's actually interesting. We did encounter one Japanese gentleman who just wanted to stall us.
Oh,
he
okay.
wanted to hear the sales pitch 10 times. There was no sale involved, of course, but he just had pleasure in saying, well, this is interesting, but I don't understand this bit. Or, hold on a minute, and I'll just see what my wife says, and he'll come back 10 minutes later, and he'll still be standing there.
That's exactly what we do with these telemarketers and these email scams. We just stuff around with them.
Hmm.
It's what more people should do, and it would change the world.
Yeah. Well, it was a very interesting day. They told me that we would be out of there by, I think they said, 6 o'clock. Of course, it wasn't actually until 8 o'clock because that's when their legal cut-off is. They weren't allowed to knock on any more doors after 8 o'clock.
Okay.
But because there were others in the area still wrapping up their sales, it was closer to 9 o'clock when we got out of there. By that time of night, buses would have been impossible, so I just accepted the lift to the nearest interchange and said, pretended to sort of consider the job, and then said, no, this is not for me, and went home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a shame.
Well,
No, it's not.
I don't really fancy walking up and down streets at 9 a.m., 9 p.m., and hoping that I'm not going to be mugged.
Yeah, that's the next worry. Or shot as you open the door or anything.
You never put it past some people, I'm sure.
Oh, no. There's lots of loonies out there.
Hmm. So, have you received any more emails from scammers?
I have. I've received, if anyone sort of read my blog, a long, long time ago, I received one at the same time from a Russian madam looking, and it was at the same time some sort of real Russian oil magnate was actually getting sued by the Russian government for tax fraud or something of the sort. And the email I received was quite convincing in as much as it linked to the BBC coverage and the CNN coverage and all this. And I thought, wow, someone's put a lot of effort into this. I'm going to put a lot of effort into stringing them along. And the next couple of days, I've got about 15 email correspondence between us, which culminates in them asking for my passport and me sending them a great picture of myself.
I had, around the same time as you, actually, I had some people who wanted me to be involved in transporting money from one country to another.
Oh, that's always a favourite.
Hmm. And eventually I just got sort of a bit tired of playing with them, but when they offered me ways to get the money from one country to another, I opted for one way, but they insisted that I do it another way. And that would have involved me travelling to their country to pick up the money.
Oh, well, of course.
After I sent them the money for the plane ticket and other expenses.
Oh, of course. I mean, you obviously have to accommodate them for the night and everything. I mean, these people are giving you, what, 10% of $100 million, is it? Something like that?
Oh, something like that.
Yes.
I have to wonder how much money they actually make out of people who think this is all real.
Oh, it's so sad, the amount of money that they do make. I mean, you watch the sort of the news, which is obviously over-exaggerated because they're only catering for ratings, but you read on the internet, and the amount of cash that these people sort of steal, because that's all they're doing, they're stealing from you, it is astronomical. I mean, it's almost tempting to get in on it.
Well, while I was doing my news reading duties for Australian Independent Radio News this afternoon, I actually saw a news story come in off the wires that someone's been sending letters around on ATO letterhead, Australian Taxation Office letterhead, saying that that your company is being audited and we need your employees' details.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and people had been falling for it because the ATO have issued a press release saying anyone who sent the information needs to contact us immediately so we can issue your employees with new tax file numbers.
Oh, yeah, that's heaps good.
Now, since when have the tax office ever issued new tax file numbers to people?
Yeah, that's the next question.
Hmm. So they're suddenly doing that. It's interesting what people will try and do just to make a quick buck.
Yeah, a quick lot of bucks, unfortunately.
Indeed. Well, Clayton, your blog is... I've never quite understood how you would pronounce the address for it, mate.
I believe, though, don't quote me on it, I mean, but sure, it's my blog, Deus lo vult, which translates from Latin to God wills it, because obviously everything I say is as authoritative as God.
Most well, certainly. Ooh, I'm falling over now. That's good. I've just rested my arm on the chair rest here, and I've nearly hit my head on the keyboard. So, that's a good way to round out the interview. You're an undergraduate at
a lowly
undergraduate. What's the difference?
Lowly.
Lowly, okay.
Lowly.
What are you studying?
I am studying Bachelor of Arts and Bachelor of Education with intent to become an English teacher at Sydney University.
Mm-hmm. So, as an English teacher, do you think that perhaps educating scammers to use proper English might come into it?
That would be the first. One of my sort of the shadows in my mind at the moment is going overseas to educate these people in the correct use of English, just to make sure they get that extra dollar every time they send the email out.
You could become an advisor to them and make millions.
Oh, that'd be good. It's sort of like the mirror image of Frank Abagnale, for anyone who's familiar with the Catch Me If You Can book and movie. Mm. He was the world's greatest scammer, and then now educates companies on how to beat scammers. I'd sort of be like the reflection of that, educating the scammers how to beat the companies.
It's like a lot of famous computer hackers who go on to advise people on internet security and things like that.
Yes, very good.
Mm. Clayton, thank you for coming on to Samuel's Persiflage.
Thank you for having me, Samuel.
It's my pleasure.
This is Samuel's Persiflage.
New country cornflakes! New country cornflakes!
Listening to Samuel's Persiflage.
Yes, well, there it was. That was a rather bizarre ad. I have to wonder if that was a real ad or not. I mean, it does seem a little bit suspicious, but... Maybe I'm just looking into it just a little bit too much, and perhaps I should just move straight on to the persiflage puzzle. I think I should. I think I'll draw four letters out of the hat this time round, so let's get started. Hope you found that bit of paper you were using 20 minutes ago. Alrighty then, well, the first letter is a V for Victor, and that one's not in the puzzle. So then we get the next one. It's G for goat. Also not in the puzzle. M for Mary. That is in the puzzle. It's the fifth letter of the third word. Almost called it the fifth word then, but we don't have five words. What else have we got? We've got the letter P for pirate. And it's the first letter of the third word. Okay. Well, we're starting to work out what that word is, and you know, I think if you work out what that word is, you can probably work out the rest. But we'll put some more letters in there a little bit later on. That might be helpful. In my opinion, scams also include false advertising. Now, here in Australia, there's a company called Soul Communications who offer telephone, internet, etc. And they've recently run some ads where they say that if you sign up with them, you'll never have to speak to Telstra again. Now, Telstra happen to own the telephone lines, and if there's a problem with the telephone lines, then Soul have to contact Telstra and send out a Telstra technician. If that technician needs access to the premises, which sometimes they do, well, you're speaking to Telstra because you have to agree to the appointment, you have to be there when the Telstra technician turns up. So, false advertising? I think so. Let's give them a call and see how they react. Now, we're going to call a few other scammers a little bit later on, but right now, let's start off with Sol. Skype's dialing it, and let's see how this goes. Ringing.
Thank you for calling Sol. As part of our commitment to service quality, your call may be recorded. At any stage, press 0 to return to the main menu. Please select from one of the following options.
Oh, goody.
If you would like to talk to a member of our sales team about our great home phone and dial-up offers, press 1.
That sounds promising.
If you would like to talk to a member of our sales team about our great mobile plans and offers, press 2. If you would like the location of your nearest Soul dealer, press 3. To activate your new mobile service, press 4.
Well, I think we've
if you're
enough.
A customer
we'll
with
one.
Us and would like to talk, please wait while your call is transferred.
Sounds like fun. Now, if they're able to record this call, then I should be able to record this call as well.
Welcome to Soul. My name's Jessie. Would you like to take up our great home phone and internet offer today?
Hi, Jessie. Well, actually, I've got a few questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, now, I saw an ad on the TV not too long ago which said that if I sign up with you, I don't have to talk to Telstra ever again.
Yep.
Just wondering if you could explain that to me. How does that work?
Because we're not run through Telstra.
Okay, but
yep.
I was under the impression that they sort of owned the telephone lines, though. Is that right? Or?
Yes, but we, for your home phone, call your home phone through us. It's not through Telstra.
Okay. So if something goes wrong with the line, I talk to you?
Yes.
Okay. But so, do you have your own technicians? Can you send out your own... She hung up on me. She hung up on me. Her name was Jessie. Well, I'm going to ring them back now, because they can't just hang up on me like that. How dare they do that? Let's ring them back. That's very rude of them, isn't it? Hanging up on me when I have a legitimate question.
Calling Soul. As part of our commitment to service quality, your call may be recorded. At any stage, press 0 to return to the main menu. Please select from one of the following options. If you would like to talk to a member of our sales team about our great home phone and dial-up offers, press 1. Please wait while your call is transferred.
On hold again.
Welcome to Soul, this is Zena.
Hi, Zena, is it?
Yes.
Hi, I was just speaking with Jessie, and I'm not sure if we got disconnected or she hung up or what happened, but it doesn't matter, I'll talk to you anyway. I was actually asking about if I sign up with you, I never have to talk to Telstra. And she sort of explained it a bit, and I was just wondering, do you have your own technicians? Because I've had problems previously when I was with other carriers where if there was a problem with the line, a Telstra technician still had to come out and I had to be there when the Telstra technician came out.
Oh, okay. Pretty much what that particular advertisement is in regards to a broadband service.
Okay.
Okay, so it's broadband that gives you an additional line to make phone calls from your broadband service rather than a normal landline.
Okay.
So your home phone will be connected to a broadband service. However, you would still need to have a home phone connected anyway so that you can run the broadband off of it.
Right, yeah.
But if you had problems with that particular line, then no, you won't need to contact Telstra. You need to contact us.
Right.
And because it is an internet problem, we will sort that out from our end.
Right. But if the broadband line goes down, then someone from Telstra would still have to come out.
That's correct, yeah.
Right.
Okay. But then your current home phone is with Telstra, though?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for clearing that up, Zena.
That's okay.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? See, the ad doesn't actually mention anything about it being a voice over IP service, so I could have probed her there, but she seemed to be a bit nicer than Jessie was. If anyone from Seoul is listening to this, you heard Jessie hang up on me, so I'll leave it in your hands.
Samuel's Persevera is listener feedback. Send your emails to podcast@samuelgordonstewart.com.
That intro just about says it all, really. podcast@samuelgordonstewart.com is the email address for written or spoken feedback. You can also send spoken feedback by clicking on the link to send spoken feedback on the Samuel's Persiflage website. And I do occasionally check other places for feedback. You can always leave it on the show notes, but there are occasionally I spot it in some other places as well, and we'll include that. But definitely, it's probably best to email it or leave it on the show notes. Okay, well, first up this month, we have Boris, who says, got to your podcast via Leo's general RSS feed. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, after I interviewed Leo Laporte last month, he actually added the show into the Radio Leo feed, which is his generic feed for pretty much everything that he appears on. And there were an awful lot of downloads, so certainly a very big welcome to everyone from there. Boris goes on, enjoyed the interview, and you beat him. Twill, this week in legal, hasn't yet hit the netwaves. Well, Boris sent this on the 2nd of October. It has actually hit the netwaves now, as you put it, Boris, although it's only about a week ago, so it's taken Leo a bit of time. Boris goes on, don't take away my carrot or housetop symbol, the thing above the six. I use it more than I use half of the alpha characters. It's the exponation. Oh, blasted, I know how to say that word too. Exponentiation, of course it is. Oh, dearie me. It's the exponentiation symbol and is used in all spreadsheets, online or PC desktop calculators, and just about anywhere where calculators are required. We've got three types of brackets. Why can't we lose one set to gain two extra spaces? One for degrees and one for whatever. I'd like to see an upside down question mark to indicate confusion, the punctuation equivalent of eh? I have subscribed to your podcast and look forward to more podcasts from you. Cheers, Boris. Thank you, Boris. Well, yeah, I suppose we could lose a bracket or two. I mean, I'm sure that someone's going to yell at me for that suggestion. So, perhaps, better yet, we have underneath, well, with the same as the print screen, we've got the system request button. And we also have the break on the pause button. Now, I don't think we even use those anymore. Or alternatively, we could just add extra characters onto the function buttons, which would probably confuse things a bit, but I still want to see a degree symbol on the keyboard somewhere, even if it's not on top of the carrot or housetop symbol. Too many bits of paper here. Chuck sends in some feedback. Samuel, how the hell did you swing Leo? He only has like a million podcasts and hunts wolverines with a 12-gauge whilst on holidays. Judging from the help he gives to Mac users, I gather he's a nice bloke. This is a coup. Your persiflage will go seriously through the roof now. Leo is the number one podcaster. Well, I'm not entirely sure if all of that's true, what you wrote about him, Chuck. It might be. I haven't actually checked. But, yeah, basically I sent him an email requesting an interview. He agreed. We spent some time working out a workable time because, of course, he's on the other side of the planet to me, and that does create some problems. It was about 2 a.m., if I remember rightly, when I interviewed him. 2 a.m. my time, that is. But, well, it was fun. And, you know, he's very approachable, and that's very nice. I mean, there's a lot of big names in the world who just, you just can't talk to them, and Leo's not like that. He's very nice, and so it was wonderful to be able to have him on the show. John B1B5, using the pseudonym John Barnes, in fact, which incidentally is not his real name, sent in some feedback. A lot of interesting material in the interview with Leo. I like the concept of the major media networks being under threat. Not too keen on an arm reaching into my computer and deleting programs, though. I found the feedback from Mike Welch rather perplexing. I fail to see how a derogatory song about our Prime Minister John Howard constitutes feedback relating to Samuel's persiflage. Well, yeah, I can see your point, John. I'm glad you enjoyed the interview, but as for Welch's feedback, well, you know, we were a bit short on feedback last month, and I generally give precedence to feedback which actually has something to do with the show, but, you know, people do send in some irrelevant things sometimes, which are just interesting. And derogatory? I don't know if I'd call it derogatory. I don't think it is derogatory. It's tongue-in-cheek, certainly, but I don't know that I'd call it derogatory. If it was derogatory, I think Welshie would already be in trouble, considering that he plays it constantly on his own radio show. Captain Flume writes, I thought he was a great interviewee. He's referring to Leo, of course. One of the best flages yet. I like that. Flage. Interesting way to abbreviate persiflage. I like that. I'm not good with technology. I didn't understand a lot of the technical terms, but I learned a lot and was affected by the man's enthusiasm. I think it is not the meek that inherit the earth, but the geeks. That's certainly an interesting expression. Yeah, I was debating during that interview whether I would interrupt Leo to explain some of the technical terms, but Leo was on such a roll, and if I interrupted every few moments, it wouldn't have worked. So I think we got away with it. Certainly there were a few technical terms in there that perhaps could have been explained a tad better, but he was on a roll, and, well, what can you do? I mean, if you do need to know what some of the technical terms were, then certainly you could try typing them into Google, or send me an email if you want. I'm happy to try and answer your questions on that. I'm losing papers all over the place here. It's really not very well organised, am I? Hear them shuffling everywhere. I've got no idea what I did with them. I printed out some of the comments, and I've actually printed a few too many pages of irrelevant stuff. Over on the Radio Leo feed on Odeo.com, who incidentally are the nice people who provide the spoken feedback recording capability link thing from the Samuel's Persiflage website. But over on the Radio Leo feed, Fly Guy writes, this has to be the cheesiest, crappy elevator music in the beginning of this podcast, and really, Samuel, persiflage. What? Well, I don't know. I mean, I actually quite like the elevator music, as you put it at the beginning, and on the plus side, it's at the end as well. But, you know, if you don't like it, just fast forward it. It's certainly something that I think is relatively, well, you can't be relatively unique. You're either unique or you're not, but I don't think anyone else uses it. I like it, and, well, I might change it somewhere in the future, but right now I think it expresses this podcast quite nicely, I think. And, well, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Persiflage is a word for light, good-natured banter. So, you know, it kind of works. Samuel's persiflage, Samuel's light, good-natured banter. I know which one's a bit more catchy. Certainly not the long-winded one. I thought there was more feedback than that. Oh, there is. There is. I nearly lost it. Martin writes an email here. Found you on the Radio Leo feed, and boy do you talk. You talk way too much. Stop talking. You talk far too much. You've got a lot of irrelevant talking in there. Just cut it down and everyone will be much happier. Martin, I know where you're coming from on that one, because I've caught myself a few times rambling on for no particular reason, especially during the persiflage puzzle, so I've tried to cut that down a little bit. But ultimately, that's me. And again, if you don't like it, you don't have to listen. And you can always fast forward if you like. So, I've always been a bit chatty, I suppose you could call it. I mean, I do remember back in high school when we had to make our own political parties as part of a learning about politics. We had to make our own political parties. We had to have a 5-minute speech about our party, and we had to do one or two other things. Now, I came up with a little radio interview that I recorded and was going to play to the class, but the audio wasn't great, so after about 5 minutes of a 15-minute interview, the teacher sort of cut it off. He said, "No, we're just going to have to skip that because no one can really hear it," which was fair enough, I suppose. So I fast-forwarded the tape through to a rather, I don't know, annoying bit of music that I had 2 minutes of me singing in my opera voice, which if you go to episode 1 of Samuel's Persiflage and listen to the intro, you'll get my drift. Sort of that was the intro to my speech. And then, that 5-minute speech I was talking about, well, it went on for 45 minutes. The class were bored. Very, very bored. I'm sure they were by the end of it. 45 minutes. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I didn't think I went for much more than 20, but the teacher eventually cut me off, Mr. Damien Maloney. He was a nice teacher. I think he let me go on for as long as I did because he was pleased that I'd just finally taken an interest in something in that class, because the rest of the class I basically did nothing. I don't think he was very impressed when a 5-minute drawing turned into a 3-week assignment. But anyway, I probably would have gone on for 60 minutes and taken up the entire lesson if he hadn't interrupted, but he basically said, "No, we've had enough." So I wrapped up the speech, and then he sent me back to the library with the tape recorder so that I couldn't keep talking. I think we were going to get through probably 10, 15, 20 maybe speeches in that class. We ended up getting through about 3. So, yeah, that was fun. Mind you, there are some people who I think would be quite happy if I just keep talking, because I actually pay them by the minute. The good people at Tech Synergy who create the transcripts, the excellent transcripts at that, for Samuel's Persiflage, I'm sure they'd be happy if I just keep talking, because every minute counts. And yeah, they do a fantastic job, and I've actually got a heap of transcripts from previous episodes that I just have to go through and verify and put online. Not that I really have to verify much, they do an excellent job. I just like to tidy up one or two formatting things and just proofread it for myself. I generally have to make a couple corrections per transcript, but on the whole, they're very, very good. That's the feedback for the month. Podcast at samuelcordonstewart.com is the email address, or click on the send audio feedback link or send spoken feedback link or whatever it is on the Samuel's Persiflage website. Well, it must be my lucky day, because I've just received an email which tells me that I'm a Category A winner in a lottery where I've won $2.5 million. US dollars at that, so it's even more in Australian dollars. Now, to claim it, I have to call a Gregory Handsmith. I could email him, but I'd rather ring him. They've got his phone number here. So the country code is 31. The number is 619731072. Okay, Skype's dialing it. It's somewhere in the Netherlands. Let's see what happens here. This should be interesting. Okay, that sounds like it's ringing.
Welkom bij voicemail van Telfort. Toets uw 10-cijferig mobiele telefoonnummer in en sluit af met een hekje.
Okay. Okay, I guess that means I'm supposed to leave a message. Okay. No, apparently it hangs up on me there. Okay, well, that's an interesting one. Don't know how I'm supposed to claim my $2.5 million. Very odd. Maybe we'll just have to try another one. Okay, well, this time around, it's a little bit different. This time we've got an Alfred Kumalo, who's sent me an email, a cry for help, in fact. Now, his mother and two younger sisters are presently in South Africa, where they were granted political asylum. He's inherited $10.7 million, etc., etc. You know the drill. He wants me to help him get it out of the country. Usually these ones are just done by email, but he's actually put in a phone number. So let's try it. Country code 27, phone number 732781970. Now that puts him in South Africa, Mr. Alfred Kumalo. Let's see if we get to talk to someone this time. So I don't want to just get a heap of strange voicemail things. It's interesting to get them. I think that means it's ringing. Okay.
Hello?
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 Hello? Is that Alfred Kumalo?
Yeah?
Yes. I've received your email. You need help getting money out of the country.
Oh. Hello, where are you from?
I'm in Australia.
Australia?
Yes.
Okay. You said this to me.
Pardon? I'm so
hello?
Sorry. Sorry, it's not a very good line. I couldn't quite hear what you said.
Because I'm not you nicely like this.
No,
the line is not clear. No.
No,
it's... Send me an email.
Yeah, I got...
Send me an email.
Okay,
you... Send me an email.
You want me to send you an email?
Yeah, the email. Send me your email, your name, your number, your first number, so that I can help you, so that I can call you. Like, you're calling me, it's not like enough.
Okay, then. Okay. I'm just interested.
Okay.
Is this going to take very long to go through? Because I want to help you do this as soon as possible, and I just think it might be easier on the phone.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I want you to send me an email. So that I can hear your language, you're calling me, it's not clear enough.
Okay, I will send you an email.
Then after sending me the email, just call, so that I can see.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, I didn't want you when you finish.
Okay. Alright,
okay,
well, you have a good day, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, it's a pity that wasn't a good line, because I would have liked to do that on the phone, but, oh well, not to worry, I'm not going to send him an email. He probably thinks he's got one now. Gee, it's a pity that was such a bad line. I would have liked to actually talk to him properly. I wonder what we could have gone through. We'll just have to find another one to interrogate, won't we? There's no point interrogating one who's just impossible to understand. Let's see if we can find another one in here somewhere. We've got another lottery. This time we're talking to a Gregory Handsmith. And what have I won this time? I've won $2.5 million. Okay. So, let's see. Oh, this could be the same number again. In fact, I think it is. Let's just see what happens when I ring it. It's a Dutch number again, so it could be the same one. I don't have the same as that number here now, so I don't know what that last number was. Okay, let's see what happens. It's ringing. I wonder why all the countries have different ringtones. It's very disconcerting. You ring it, you think you're getting an engaged signal. And in fact, it's ringing like this.
Welkom bij voicemail van Telfort. Toets uw 10-cijferig mobiele telefoonnummer in en sluit af met een hekje.
Okay, I think I know what it's trying to tell me here. It wants me to put in my mobile number so I can get my... oh dear. It would seem that they... Yes, okay, it can go away. It would seem they've put the wrong number in their spam emails. It's asking me for my mobile number so that I can retrieve my voicemail messages. Perhaps someone who does speak Dutch could translate that for me just so I can be certain, but that's certainly what it sounds like to me. Oh, these people are stupid. Let's Alright, let's see if we can find any more. Here's one that's a little bit more recent. It appears to be in Spain. It's one where I've won $850,000. Let's see what happens if we ring the number. 34 is the area code, 692-957743. It's an interesting noise. Doot. I was hoping it would ring. Oh, that sounds like it's ringing. Someone must be there. Oh, well, maybe I'll just try them another time.
Good afternoon.
Hello, is that Alex Demas, the claims supervisor?
Yes.
Hello, I've won the lottery.
Okay, good. When did you receive this information, sir?
2 days ago. I've sort of just held on to the email because I didn't really believe it at first, but I've sort of believe it now. So, what information do you need?
Okay, good. So, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Australia.
From Australia.
Yes.
Okay, good. Because, however, please, you can send us an email with your winning email address, including your winning information.
Yeah.
So that we can be able to send it for verification before we can be able to proceed.
Okay. Well, I'm actually not using the Australian phone system because I don't really trust it. I'm actually using Skype, so this is actually no one can listen in until it actually gets to the Spanish phone network, so I think we're probably safe. So, I just, before I do send some information, I just would like some information, because I just want to be sure that this is real, because, you know, there are so many fake ones around. I'm just, why have I won this?
Well, your email was selected randomly from a computer ballot system. All email address was done so. There are 17 winners in this promotion. So if you are one of them, because I cannot do the verifications at the moment, in the Monday, all we have to do is just for you to send us an email. They will be sending you a claim appraisal form, which you are required to fill in and send back to us. As soon as we receive that, we'll send it in for verifications. And if your winning emails or your winning details are confirmed as the bona fide winner in the program, then we'll proceed with your winning claims.
Okay. So this is real. This is not a scam?
Absolutely.
Okay, so why is the email coming from the United Kingdom then?
The email is not coming from the United Kingdom. The email is coming from Spain. However, we used several servers to distribute the winner's email, most especially because of the scams that are around these days. So we always use secure emails to send out our emails to our winners and participants in the lottery.
Okay, then. All right. Well, I will send you an email, and thank you very much. Okay, so
you're welcome, sir.
Okay, so how much tax do I have to pay on this?
Actually, you do not need to pay any tax. All you need to do is just send us some information, whereby we receive your information. We'll be sending you a claim appraisal form which you're required to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as soon as we receive that, we'll send that in for verification. Then all you have to do is to notarize your winning claims here at the Area Court of Justice here in Madrid, before we can have final authority to be able to transfer your funds, if you want us to transfer the funds to you directly.
Okay, then. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Demas. I will send...
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you. I will send an email at once.
Okay, I'll wait to hear from you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a nice day.
You too. They certainly have their spiel worked out, don't they? He did seem a little bit thrown when I asked him why the email was coming from the United Kingdom. But they do have their spiel worked out. I think I might just have to send him an email. I don't know. Do I want to send him an email saying that he's been duped by Samuel's persiflage? He's in Spain. What could he possibly do? He's hardly likely to fly out here, is he? Oh, this is fun. I might just have to dig up one more, I think. We'll just get through to one more of these lunatics. Maybe one who can actually speak English clearly. Could you understand half of that? Most of it was gobbledygook. Oh, it was lost in the echo. Very bad phone that he was using. Oh, dearie me. Maybe I should find another one. I think I will. Let's find another one. Of course, not all scammers actually put their phone numbers in their emails, which is understandable. It's much easier to be convincing in an email than it is on the phone, and much easier to get the details. You could tell they didn't want me to be on the phone. It's quite obvious. They all wanted me to send in emails, even if you could barely hear them. That's what they wanted. So, other spam emails actually are quite interesting, because you don't have to have the phone number in the email itself to ring them. Why, you ask? Well, take this one I've got here. It's one that's titled Hello, and they've told me they've got 200 software titles and more on their website, which I can download for amazingly discounted prices, which you just know is false. That's fine, I can go to their website, and, well, it looks fairly legit, it looks decent. And after confirming that it doesn't appear to have been temporarily taken over which I've actually done by pulling up a spam email from nearly a week ago. And so a lot of I've noticed recently that they'll actually use websites they've managed to take over to put their things on. I found that with a few the other day. But this one seems to be legitimate. Legitimate as in the website is actually owned by the person who has put this nonsense on their website. So, we can look up the details of the website registration and see if we can contact them. Now, in this case, I actually have here an Alex Rodriguez, R-O-D-R-I-G-E-Z. Now, don't quite know where he is, but I have a phone number here, so let's see what happens if I ring it. Now, this should be interesting. Now, it's 35 is the country code, and the phone number 8207818027. That actually places him in Finland. This should be interesting. I don't speak Finnish. Should be very interesting. Maybe I should have read it properly, eh? Thank you, Alex. Okay, I look at this again, and his telephone number is the same as his fax number. Not to worry, I might just see if I can look around, find another one. It's just, I would like to actually confront someone who I know is spamming and scamming and stealing. Just like to sort of, just get under their skin a bit, rather than playing the what happens if I ring someone and pretend that I actually believe them game. Let's see what happens if I'm confrontational with them. Here we have a Jason Gamino somewhere in the United States. He seems to be running an online pharmacy, or at least something he thinks is an online pharmacy. He wants other people to think he is an online pharmacy. Let's see what happens if I ring him. Of course, country code 1, phone number 505-217-9224. Okay. This should be interesting. It's ringing, obviously.
Hi, thank you for calling Jason and Angie. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished recording, press pound. To cancel, press star.
Hello, Jason. It's Samuel from Samuel's Persiflage here. Just wondering why you're scamming people all the time with your bizarre online pharmacy website. I just suggest maybe you should stop it because it's really annoying. And, well, you're a pain in the neck, Jason. You really are. Please stop it. I mean, I don't know why you bother doing it. You're probably making plenty of money out of it. Do you even send people their products? I highly doubt it. Anyway, just stop it. We're on to you. Bye-bye. Well, pity he wasn't there to talk in person. Oh well, not to worry. next on the list is some company calling themselves Polar Shoes International Trade Corporation. Now, they seem to find it fun to spam news groups. And I followed a link from the spam on their news group where they offer these wonderful shoes. I just had a little look around their site, and it seems pretty obvious to me that they're actually selling counterfeit products. Here we have this quote on their website: "All the shoes are packed in original boxes with retro cards, and the tags and style code numbers are 100% correct." Now, if they were manufacturing legitimate products, they wouldn't need to assure you that the tags and style code numbers are 100% correct. So, I think we can probably find out who they are, their phone number, and give them a call. Now, the administrative contact for this is Wenjin Chen, somewhere in China. Now, I could just talk to them about the shoes, but I think it would be a bit more fun to just pretend that we're from customs and tell them that that we've been in contact with their local authorities and there will be a raid soon. Let's hope they're there, because that would be quite amusing. So, country code, of course, is 86. Phone number 0594-258-2580. Okay, let's see what happens.
Hey.
Hello. Hello.
哪里?
Sorry?
你打哪里啊?
Do you speak English? English?
听不懂啊,你讲什么?
English.
讲英语嘛,我听不懂啊.
Okay, I take it you don't speak English then. No.
不然听.
No, obviously not. Alright, well, maybe I'll just try and explain this anyway. I'm from Australian Customs. We've just seized some of...
Wei.
Hello.
Wei.
Hello.
Wei.
Yeah.
Wei.
I'm from Australian Customs. We've just found a shipment of your shoes. We actually believe that they're counterfeit.
Oh.
Do you know anything about this?
Wei.
Do you know anything about this?
Who are you?
I'm from Australian Customs.
Sorry, maybe you wrong.
Australian Customs, the people who monitor what comes in and goes out of Australia. They don't want to talk to me. All right, okay, let's... Okay. Thinking about that there. When I mentioned that I was from Australian Customs, we'd see some of their shoes, we thought they were counterfeit. He went, oh. And then he did speak English for a few moments there. Who are you? And then just reverted back to Chinese again. Rather amusing, that. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Well, those shoes just aren't getting anywhere, are they? Let's see who else we can find. Well, this is our 8th call to a scammer in this segment, so I think it will be our last for the show. Now, I don't know whether you would categorise this as a scam or just a bit of deception, but I received an email to the podcast at samuelgordonstewart.com email address a couple weeks ago from something called pod-planet.com. Now, it appears to be yet another podcast directory, as if we don't have enough of them already. This email, unfortunately, has a bit of a twist. Now, as I start off by saying, congratulations, a fan of your podcast added your RSS feed to our directory, yada yada yada. We're quickly becoming the best website, best podcast directory on the web, etc., etc., etc. Now, they go on to say, although your podcast has been added to our directory, you may want to go in and categorise your podcast. You have to register to do that, yada yada yada. However, it gets more interesting. All we ask in return for being listed in our directory is for you to add the pod-planet.com badge to your website. How absolutely pathetic. I mean, I've never heard of these people before. So somehow, randomly, I get this email from them claiming that someone has added me to their directory. Now, that's not too bad, I don't mind that, but going and having a bit of a search around the web for them, it seems they only started doing that about 2 days before I received this one, and they'd been sending out quite a few of them, which made me think that, actually, there was just some robot doing this. It was adding all of these podcasts to the directory, and they were sending out these emails and thinking, great, we'll make all these podcasters feel brilliant that they've been added to yet another directory, and they'll be nice to us and they'll put a link to our site with our logo on their website and everyone will be happy. Well, I just think it's, quite horrible. Horrible's probably not quite the word I'm looking for, but here they are. They're basically saying, you didn't add your podcast to our directory. You never asked for it to be in our directory, but it's there now, so all we ask in return is that you put our logo on your website because someone you've probably never heard of before added you to our directory. That's a bit odd. Now, I notice they're a subsidiary of BerkeleySoft Incorporated, and I've been trying to work out where I remember that name from. I can't quite put my finger on it. I just can't quite work out where I know that name from. I'm sure I'll work it out eventually. Yes, I'm sure I will. From memory, there was that name, or perhaps something similar to it, was involved with adware or spyware not all that long ago. But, you know, I don't quite remember. So, I've had a look, and I've got a phone number for them here. As I'm doing this, it's actually close to 11 p.m. over there, so I'm not confident that we'll get through to anyone. But we'll try anyway. So, of course, our country code is 1, and the number 510-882-0996. Let's see if we get someone.
Hello, you've reached Scott Sampson, cellular voicemail. I'm not able to pick up the phone right now. Please leave your name and number, and I'll be sure to get back with you soon. Thanks very much. Take care.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hi, Scott. It's Samuel Gordon Stewart from Samuel's Persiflage podcast here. I received the email from PodPlanet about my podcast being added to the directory. And, you know, I didn't ask for it to be added. I don't have a problem with other people adding it, but going and saying that simply because some random person, or in fact I suspect a robot, has added my podcast to your directory that I have to put your logo on my website, I think that's very rude, and I think you should be quite ashamed of yourself for doing that. Now, if it was a condition of registering personally myself, as the owner of the podcast, registering the podcast that I had to put the logo on my website, fine, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But sending out random emails to people who just happen to have had their podcast added out of the blue and requesting that your logo be put on their website, I think that's just stretching it just a little bit too far. And really, I don't think it's very good public relations, so you might want to rethink that, Scott. Have a nice day. Well, there we go. We've left the message, and we'll see what happens. Well, now that we've had our fun with the scammers, I think we should go back to the persiflage puzzle, in fact. And three letters coming your way, courtesy of the puzzle hat. The persiflage puzzle hat, indeed. Let's see what we get. It's the letter T for traffic. And that's not in there. Let's go for A for aardvark. And, this might just give it away. In the first word, the letter A is the second, fourth, and sixth letter. And in the third word, the letter A is the fourth and the sixth letter. So, that certainly changes things, doesn't it? Let's see if we can pull out another letter and see if it's in there. It's the letter E for egg, and it's not in there, but that might just give it away. A well-known Australian television show which with such characters as Amy, Lulu, and Morgan. The answer is coming up very shortly, or perhaps I mean very soon. I think I do. We should probably have the thought for the month, and, well, I'm a bit of an amateur photographer. I like to take photos of various things, and in fact, people who follow my blog would know that I like to, sometimes have little photographic documentaries of various things. I've been recently following the construction of a shopping centre in central Canberra, and obviously that's a construction site, so some people just get a little bit suspicious when they see me taking photos of this construction site, especially when I sort of walk around and just take lots of photos, and that's fine, I sort of get used to it, but people make an awful lot of assumptions. I know that in this sort of day and age where we do tend to be a little bit more paranoid about these things. But is it really that strange that someone would want to take photos of a construction site? I mean, I can understand that it does seem a little bit odd, but I don't know. I suppose that people are doing the right thing by just checking what I'm doing, I suppose, but it is a little bit annoying, and some people just, as I said, make an awful lot of assumptions, and, well, assumptions are often quite wrong. But people don't seem to learn that, which I suppose is not really a problem. I mean, we're always going to make assumptions. That's what we do. We're humans. We make assumptions. But it just seems a little bit strange to me at times. Maybe I just think about it a bit too much. I probably do. Well, that's it. That's what the music means. That's it. That's it for another month of Samuel's Persiflage. If you've stayed right through to the end, well, thank you very much for doing so. Much appreciated. And, of course, if you'd like to send me some feedback, that would be most appreciated as well. I do have to wonder if that last scammer there is going to send me an email, because he could easily track down the email address. Well, if he does, I'd have to say about reading it in the listener feedback next month. It'll be very interesting to see what happens there. Yes. Lots of fun. I had a lot of fun with those scammers making those calls. And I suppose before we go, you want to know what the answer to the persiflage puzzle is, don't you? Well, it's bananas in pyjamas. Of course, as I said, it's a well-known Australian television show with such characters as Amy, Lulu and Morgan. Other characters include B1, B2 and Rat in a Hat. Now, the show ran from 1992 to 2000 and was screened firstly in Australia and then in many other countries as well. Now, if you're in the US, this might have thrown you. The US version was spelled, the pajamas was spelled without a Y. There's an A there instead in the US version because obviously you spell pajamas different to us. But I went with the official Australian spelling there, which has a Y. So if I keep talking, that music's going to run out and that would be it. I would be in trouble then because I would have overrun the music and that wouldn't be any good. So I'd better get out of here. Have a great month. I'll see you again next month. I'll be trying to get one done a little bit earlier in the month next month. We'll see how we go. Until then, ta-da!